So let's pray together this morning. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so thankful you're here. Now, let me just tell you, you may have gotten a handout that's kind of wonky because while I'm printing them, the printer went haywire and jammed, you know. I did it, restarted it, but some of you have two first pages. So if you do, just use one of your first pages. Don't use them. So don't let that throw you. But then when I realized what had happened, I stopped it and corrected it. So some of you have it right, some of you have it wrong. I have no business being a Sunday school teacher, but I'm glad you're here. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so blessed this morning to be here. What a beautiful day. We thank you for our dads. We thank you for our husbands. We thank you for the fathers in our lives that have meant so much. Father, we pray this morning that you will stir up our hearts as we study your word together. I thank you for every lady in this room. I thank you for the world that she is the center of. You want to use her in her world. And I pray, God, that this morning's lesson and the ones to follow will be lessons that will help us to be sent, to be on mission in our worlds for you. And I pray that you'll give us attentive hearts. We pray especially for the Fisher family this morning. We ask you, Father, to heal Larry. I pray that you would heal him quickly. I pray that you will comfort him, comfort their whole family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this morning, I want to begin a series of lessons. And I just called it at the top of your page, sent. It's a verb that we're going to be looking at as we study through these lessons this summer to help us to think in a fresh way, in a new way, about sharing your faith. Do you know another word for sharing your faith that we use all the time is evangelism? This lesson isn't about us adding something else to our already busy lives. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you because you're not doing something. I'm here this morning to help us think differently about our lives. I'm here to help us think biblically about our lives. Because the truth is, evangelism ought to be something that just flows naturally out of who we are as Christian women. It isn't something that I want to beat myself up and I have to do this and it's my duty and I'm ashamed if I don't do it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Living a sent life is actually who you are if you're a Christian woman. It is just who you already are as part of your God-given identity in Christ. Why don't we share our faith more often? That's an interesting question. A lot of the reason why is because we just don't understand that as Christians, we are sent ones into the world. And living as sent women of God is a supernatural adventure. I want to say this morning, it's fun. It's not a drudgery. It's exciting. It's something we should be enjoying every day of our lives. It's not a got to do. It's a get to do. Something I get to do. Not something I've got to do. And so after we finish these series of lessons, it's my prayer that we're going to wake up with a fresh expectancy, a fresh vision, and a fresh zeal. And so the goal of this lesson this morning is to inspire you. It's to stir you up. It's to motivate you. It's to encourage you. And it's also, these series of lessons, hopefully, are going to prepare us by giving us some very practical ways we can begin to engage with those around us and become bolder in talking about Jesus with our family, with our coworkers, and with those who just come naturally into our paths every day. Now, look at me. Is this something you're interested in this morning? This means yes, this means no. Is this something you want to explore with me in Sunday school? If you do, you're going to have to come to Sunday school. So I want to encourage you to come, to make every effort. And if you have to miss, you can always catch up by listening online, because Sandra puts all my Sunday school lessons on the bragging post. Now, I'm going to be giving you some assignments, too, so get ready, okay? That's what the little pink card's all about. Now, we're going to center this study on the simple word in Scripture, and it's that word, sent. Now, let me tell you about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called by God, and Jeremiah was very young when this call came in his life. And Jeremiah was uneducated, and Jeremiah was inexperienced. He felt like he couldn't fulfill what God wanted him to do. It felt like an overwhelming task. And when I talk about sharing your faith, does that feel overwhelming to you? Like something, not me. I want you to listen to what God told Jeremiah. Look on your handout, Jeremiah 1, 7 through 8. God says this to Jeremiah, "Do not say, 'I am too young.'" Well, I'm not going to say that because obviously I'm old. God says to Jeremiah, young Jeremiah, "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." Now circle that word "send." That's our word. That's our verb. Have you ever thought about the concept that God is sending you? Yes, you. And God wants to use you in the lives of other people to introduce them to Jesus. Could God really be intending to send us? Well, Teresa, I know God sends other people. I've met them and they're so cool. But could it be that God wants to send me too? Could it be that God has chosen me for this particular place, with these particular people that we live around, for this time in history? Why, does Acts 1:8 really apply to me when God said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses? Is that applying to me? Does the Holy Spirit really empower people to be witnesses for Jesus? And then what about Peter? Jesus said to them, to Peter, "Follow me, I will make you a fisher of men." Does that mean, Teresa, that if I follow Jesus, he's going to make me a fisher of men? Have you ever considered God wants to use you to send you out to people who need to know him? So in these studies, I want us to think about this idea of God sending us to people who need to hear the gospel. And we're going to ask ourselves this question: could God really use me? Now, I dream about this a lot. I'm really shy when it comes to sharing my faith. I'm not shy when it comes to teaching God's word, but I am shy just out in the world. I think about it a lot. I really want God to use me. Do you? That's my question. Do you really want him to use you? Are you asking him to use you? I believe if we can just get a grasp on our sent identity, that marvelous things will begin to happen. What if we considered that our greatest life work was to tell other people about Jesus? That it was actually just a natural extension of who we are in Christ as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to start today in our lesson with three core principles of a person who is living a sent life. I want to move fast because I want us to have some time to talk. So, principle number one, write it down, is this. God is always at work to draw people to himself. Now, I've got to bring this to the scriptures this morning. You see, God is working whether I see it, whether I feel it or not. Let's find some scriptures that support this idea that God is always at work. And the first one, write down out of John 5, 7, God is working. And this is what Jesus said in John 5, 7. My Father is always at work to this very day, and I am working too. Listen, to this very day, June 15th, is it the 15th? I think it is. 2025. God is working. And Jesus is working too. Here's a second scripture out of Ecclesiastes. Here's our thought. God designed us to desire eternity. Put that in on your handout. And Ecclesiastes verse 11 says, God has also set eternity in the human heart. As you're in your world, God has already placed within every person this knowing about eternity. Number three, God draws people to Jesus. Look at John 6:44. And it says, Jesus says there, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You just didn't decide out of the blue one day you'd just come to Christ. No, the Spirit was wooing you. The Spirit was talking to your heart. It was God himself drawing you. So don't feel like, oh, I'm so smart. You're not. You were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And dead people don't make decisions. But God sends his Spirit to draw us. You need to thank God he drew you. Thank you, Lord. I'll never get over it. Now, number four. The Holy Spirit is always testifying about Jesus. We're going to go to John 15:26 to see this. When the Helper comes, Jesus says, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And one more, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That is what Jesus is still doing right now in history. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, do this with me this morning. Think about all the people around us every day. What if we believed that God was orchestrating events in our lives to position us to be with people for the purpose of sharing the gospel? Wow. In Bible school a few weeks ago, whenever that was, feels like eternity, we were looking at Thailand in the missions little segment of Bible school. And we have a video. And I didn't know this. Thailand has over 71.6 million people. Now, that's a lot of people. Their landmass of Thailand is about the landmass of California, with 71.6 million people jammed into that landmass. And over 95% of the people in Thailand are Buddhist. And as we're looking at the pictures of the country, there's big Buddhas on all the tops of the buildings. And the people are lost. And the people are in darkness. And we were hearing every day a story from a team of missionaries who are in Thailand sharing the gospel. And one of the days in the mission track showed where they have this huge Buddhist festival every year, and they light lanterns, and they float the lanterns, and it's a beautiful sight. People come from all over the world to see it because of its beauty. And they're sending their lanterns up, and they pray as they send them up, and they're sending their sin. That's what the lantern represents, sending away their sin and sending away their bad luck. But what happens to the lantern? It falls back down to the ground. And the next day, they're just littered all over the country, lanterns. It can't take away your sin. God is putting you in a position with people who are lost, just like in Thailand. What if you exist as an important person for a specific time, for a specific purpose, to help someone on their spiritual journey? I want you to start thinking differently with me this morning. So because God is working, and because God has already placed eternity in every human heart, and because God is the one who is drawing people to himself, and because the Holy Spirit is the one that testifies about who Jesus is, and because the very nature of the Lord Jesus is to seek and to save those who are lost, this means that I can approach conversations with others, and I can do it boldly, and I can do it with expectation. I want you to think of it. This very moment, the Spirit is moving. The Spirit is drawing. Jesus is seeking. Jesus is saving. Today is the day of salvation. He's that good shepherd who is continually searching for his lost sheep, the ones who don't know him yet. This is the primary work in the world today that God does. He's drawing people to himself. And it's incredible to think about this morning. I want us to think about it. He's building a kingdom for himself. We're in the kingdom, but there are others to come. He's rescuing people. And he invites us to join him in seeking and saving. Let's go to principle number two. God uses people to lead others to Jesus. These are very simple principles. Let them land on your heart this morning. The disciples were with Jesus for 3 years, and they were the very first ones to learn about his resurrection. And they were one of the very first ones to see him after he was alive again. And then they had this season of time where they spent with him after his resurrection. Now surely the disciples were the best, were the ones that would have had the best understanding of what was coming next with Jesus. But they missed it. Listen, they missed it. The truth is, they thought Jesus was going to establish his earthly kingdom, and that was going to be his next big step. And so, here in Acts 1, they asked him about it. Look on your handout at verse 6. Then the disciples gathered around Jesus, and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were thinking about an earthly kingdom. That was what was on their minds. Look what Jesus says to them in verse 7. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." He doesn't fuss at them. He doesn't scold them. He just refocuses them. He says, "Let God worry about the coming of my earthly kingdom, because I have something else for you right now that I need you to focus on." Look at verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He is letting them know that they are about to join him in the greatest rescue mission the world has ever known. God is going to save a lot of people, and God is going to use them to do it. He said it to the disciples at that time, and he's saying it to us this morning. You will be my witnesses. Notice he doesn't give them new actions to do. He doesn't tell them new works to go after. He just gives them a whole new identity. You are now witnesses. Before he called them to do something, he told them to be something. His witnesses. Now let's consider some moments in Scripture that shape this second core principle. Real quickly, let's go to one and write this down. God gives us His Holy Spirit to become witnesses. Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. We just looked at it. Go to number two. God uses us to spread knowledge about Jesus. And I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And notice what it says. And God manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Number three, God has given us a ministry to lead others to Jesus. This is a God-given ministry to every child of God. Look at it out of 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, new things have come. And all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then notice what it says. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And number four, Jesus chooses and appoints us to bear fruit for the kingdom. Look at what he said in John 15:16. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And number five, God created us in Christ to do the good work he has prepared for us. This is one of my very favorite verses. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in. All of these passages tell us something very powerful about who God made us to be. We're witnesses, empowered by the Holy Spirit, used by God to spread the knowledge of Jesus. We've been given a ministry to reconcile. We're chosen, we're appointed for this good work of leading other people to know Him. Now, one more principle I want us to look at this morning. God continually invites us into the work of evangelism. You see, God uses ordinary people. He really does. You feel ordinary? Well, that's a good thing. That's who God uses. And understanding that God uses ordinary people to accomplish His mission to rescue people and build a kingdom, life just isn't drudgery. I mean, it's like, you know, when I understand this, it's like I'm responding to an invitation to a great big party, and it fills my heart with joy. It's not a drudgery. It's a joyful thing to work together with God. In fact, we've received a commission. It's called the Great Commission. It's a formal, important, official charge given to us by Jesus himself. In fact, they were the very last words he spoke before he ascended into heaven. Look at them with me out of Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I absolutely love this commission. because of two very often overlooked concepts. I want you to write them down, because as you enter into this work of telling other people about Jesus, number one, Jesus is with us. Did you see what he said? I'm with you to the very end of the age. And not only that, he's with us in all of his authority. Did you notice what he said? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Well, Teresa, I'm just not quite sure that Great Commission really applies to me. Maybe that was a word just for the disciples that day. Well, let me answer that from the New Testament for you this morning. Because the early church to whom the New Testament was written, they understood very clearly that they were called to be ambassadors for Christ. They were called to be witnesses as part of their new identity as Christians. Have you ever just had that nagging question? You know, it's just a nagging question. You've gotten saved. You love the Lord, but you have a nagging question. Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Have you ever asked that question? What do you want me to do? What is my purpose here on earth? What is my actual calling? What is God's will for my life? And you see, as I embrace the Great Commission as my purpose, as I embrace it as a calling and as God's will for my life, then you know what? My career, what I do all the time, that becomes secondary. And evangelism becomes my primary vocation, my highest calling. Now, none of us in this room are very likely ever going to go on the staff of a church and be in full-time ministry, but each of us right now have as our ministry to proclaim the gospel. We're like Peter. He would leave everything to fish for men. And we're like the 72 in Luke 10 when Jesus says to them, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. Go, he says, I am sending you out. Let's put some scriptural truths with this. We'll just say out of Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, write this down for number one. Jesus commands us to tell others about him. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's not the great suggestion. That's the Great Commission. It's a command. And number two, Jesus invites us into the work of drawing others to him. And we looked at it out of Matthew 4 a moment ago, where Jesus said, follow me, I will make you to be fishers of men. Number three, Jesus sends us on the same mission he has to seek and to save the lost. Matthew 20:21, Jesus says this, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Number four, God sends us to preach to others about him. And I love this scripture out of Romans that you know so well. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Number five, God invites us to live as his witness. I want you to look at Isaiah 43 with me. God says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord. There is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. God is inviting us continually to live a sent life. He's working. He uses people to lead others to Jesus. These are the three core principles. Now, when we understand that, we're going to see God move in powerful ways in our lives. Do you long to see God move in your life? I do. I really do. I long to see that in Brookhaven. I long to see that in our circles of influence. Listen to this. According to a survey by Barna that was done in 2019, this is just something. 47% of Christians reported that they believed it was wrong to share your faith with others. 47% of Christians believed it was wrong to share your faith. That's the mood of our generation. That's where we're living in 2025. Oh, what you believe, that's good. What I believe, that's good. I have to be tolerant of you. I just think that's astonishing. How have we come to this in our generation? It breaks my heart. I want it to change, don't you? Out of this research that Barna did, the millennials, you know who millennials are? They are the ones that were born between 81 and 96. In particular, the millennials strongly agreed that it was wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they would one day share Christ. But this morning, as I come to God's Word, and I look at these three core principles. God is at work. God uses people to lead others to Jesus. And God is continually inviting us to do that. It only makes it right for you to go into your world and share the gospel. It makes it a joyful part of the Christian life because sent ones, that's who we are. We're witnesses. Now, go to your handout. This is on the very last page. I want you to spend some time around your tables. Let me check out time. Ooh, we're doing good. I want you to discuss around your table first this question. How are you feeling about today's lesson about being sent? How does it make you feel to think God is sending you? Are you afraid? Do you have hesitation? Are you concerned you don't have the gifting or the personality for sharing your faith? Are you feeling completely inadequate? Are you excited and ready to learn and be challenged? Are you convicted? Take a moment. I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes around your tables. Pick a facilitator. Somebody just pick one. Point to somebody. And y'all share a few minutes around your table. All right, time's up. Now look on your handout and circle true or false. The opportunity to introduce others to Jesus belongs to me too. True or false? What's the answer? What's the answer? It's true. All right? Yes or no? I've always wanted to start sharing my faith, but I don't think I am that kind of person. Do you feel like that? Yes or no? One more yes or no. Do you believe that God can really use someone like you? Yes or no? Yes. Even someone like you. God is at work. He certainly doesn't need us, does he? We mess up all the time. We make blunders. But God is inviting us to join us, to join him, to be workers together with him in spite of who we are. And it's a joy to be a worker together with God. And knowing that He's invited me to join Him, and I hope you've seen this in the lesson this morning, Jesus is inviting you to join Him. It should give us courage and joy and hope. It's not about me. It's not about my personality. It's not about my giftings. I don't have to be an extrovert. Our hope and our courage come from the reality that we have this awesome, incredible God who has the power to save people and who is inviting us to be a part of it with Him. He uses us so that we can enjoy being attached to His eternal purpose. He's sending people. He's sending us. He's sending me. He's sending you. Now, the most frequent way Jesus describes God the Father in the Gospel of John is, and I put it on your handout, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And the most, the title He uses all throughout John is, the Father who sent me. Jesus knew exactly who He was. He knew exactly why He came. God says, Teresa, I'm sending you. Cindy, I'm sending you. Louise, I'm sending you. Sandra, I'm sending you. Kalinda, I'm sending you. Judy, I'm sending you. Sarah, I'm sending you. I'm sending you, Rachel. Velma, I'm sending you. Vicky, I'm sending you. Carolyn, every one of you are being sent. That is God's plan for spreading the gospel. Now, one more thing I want us to do, because most of us in this room were brought into a relationship with Jesus because God sent someone to share His gospel with you. Who was that someone who shared with you? I'm going to give you 2 minutes to share around your table. Share who that someone was. We've still got a few minutes. There, time's up. I want to hear your stories. Now, here's the truth. God sent someone to you to share the good news. And now, He's sending us to others. Here's your homework. Get your little Pete card. I want you to think of 5 people that God has placed in your life. I want you to write down their names. And I want you to begin praying for them. And I want you to begin taking baby steps of faith to talk to them. Imagine it in your mind, what you might say. That's your homework. Just think about the people God has sovereignly placed in your life, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace, just naturally all around you. 5 people, begin praying. That's your homework. And then you have to come back next week, because we're going to add to this lesson and get more practical with it. But this is our beginning. I want you to understand this morning, God is sending you. You are to be a witness. That is God's purpose. It's a purpose that gives you joy. It's not something I want you to add to your life. It's something you are. It's who you are. Because you belong to Him. And because the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for this good word this morning about who we are in Christ. You give us the privilege of working together with You. What an amazing thing. Even though we're so inept, and even though we feel so untrained and we don't feel like we're up for it, God, yet You use us. And Your Spirit is the one moving and drawing. And it's so exciting to be in a place where we get to speak a good word for You. And I pray that You will challenge our hearts this morning. Bring us back next week. And I just pray, Father, for You to help us to hear clearly Your call, Your purpose, Your will for us. And we thank You for Your precious word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go and share.